You know, sometimes it's hard to sing and be happy, especially in the morning when you have to move the clock forward an hour, huh? You know, it is wonderful to sing. Wonderful to sing when things are going well, but extremely difficult to sing when things are not going well. How many of you have ever had what we call one of those days? We probably all have. Last Friday, it was a horrible earthquake in Japan, and the tsunami. Thousands of people lost their life. They went to bed the night before, only to awaken to tremendous devastation and flooding. It's almost beyond our comprehension that something like that could happen. How blessed we are to live in the good old USA, folks. Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey to the area of Philippi, and initially things seemed to be going pretty well for them. They could sing and be happy because they were happy and because things were going great. But one day, things changed. And I want you to read with me this morning the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning in verse 16 down through verse 34, of the events that occurred in their life when they thought things were going well. The Bible said, "It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much gain by their soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, crying and saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, and that they show us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplaces under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' And then he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and before Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house." Now, if you read this story, you remember that a certain woman who was actually a fortune teller is what she was. And she began to follow Paul and Silas and declare over and over again that these men are the bondservants of the Most High God, and they are proclaiming unto you the way of salvation. Now, she kept this chant up many days. I mean, she just kept saying it over and over and over again. And what might have appeared at the very beginning to be a good thing was really becoming a nuisance and a distraction in a great way. But finally, Paul decides by the Spirit of God to cast this demonic spirit out of her, and she was delivered, and she lost that power of being able to predict the future. Now, get what's going on. This woman was being used by certain influential men in the community to make money, because just think about what she could do. Even through this demonic spirit, she could prophesy and she could talk about the future and things that might come to pass. But when her masters, who had been using her, saw what Paul and Silas had done, they dragged them to the marketplace and they seized them. But think about this. Things just go from bad to worse. It becomes one of those days for Paul and Silas. They were brought before a makeshift court. They were stripped. They were beaten severely and then thrown into the inner prison where their feet were fastened in stocks. This had been a bad day. One of those days when one bad thing led to another. How many of you have ever had one of those when you said maybe in your mind, it's been such a horrible, horrible day. Things just cannot get worse. But they did. I heard about a man one time in London who was so mad after being given a speeding ticket that he raced away from the officer, and maybe you've done that too, and he just burned rubber as he left. And then the officer nabbed him a second time for speeding and then added a third ticket for making unnecessary noise. I heard about a burglar one time who was somewhat surprised in a house in Belgium. And the thief fled out the back door because he was afraid, and he climbed over a 9-foot wall, and believe it or not, he dropped into a particular prison. Things got worse. It was a woman who came home. You don't think it can get bad. This woman came home one time to find her husband in the kitchen shaking frantically with what looked like a wire running from his waist toward the electric kettle. Intending to knock him free from the deadly current, she found a large piece of wood and whacked him on the arm, breaking his arm into two places. Now, you might think, what a shame. He had only been listening to his old Walkman tape player. Now, this particular text says that Paul and Silas were going from one bad thing to another. Now, do you know, even the Bible says that can happen. The prophet Amos in the Old Testament, in the book of Amos 5 and verse 19, says that an unrighteous man is one who runs from a lion, first of all. He meets a bear, and then when he gets home, he leans against the wall in exhaustion, only to have a snake bite him. Now, that's a bad day. Now, you know what? For those of you that are not ready to meet the Lord, I can tell you, that will get worse than this life. For the Bible says that those who do not know Jesus Christ will be tormented day and night forever and forever. I've learned in life that God always gets the last word. For in Psalms 30, the Bible says, for those of us who are children of God, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. But there is no joy for those who die outside of Christ. Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. The Bible says, John says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. So how do you deal with a bad day? What do you do? Well, in verse 25, the Bible tells us what Paul and Silas did. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I've learned also in life that there is a little principle here that is involved. There's a little formula that helps us overcome those bad days. Prayer and praise equals deliverance. Now, whether you believe that or not, it's true. Now, you may say, well, you know, if you knew what I was having to go through in life, you wouldn't be singing praise either. Well, let me tell you something. Paul and Silas were singing because they were in trouble. They understood that Jesus didn't necessarily come to deliver them, but that he came to get in trouble with them. And when Paul and Silas were incarcerated in prison in Philippi, Jesus came to get in trouble with them, that others might be blessed. For he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. Now, there are several things that we need to do, but I had a long introduction this one, but there are just two basic points that I want to make. That make you feel better? You can go home and catch up on that hour you lost last night. Number one, we must begin the day with prayer. I am convinced that when we begin the day with prayer, it is less likely to become unraveled in the middle. You may have problems, but because you prayed about it, you know that God is on your side and that he is going to deliver you. Paul and Silas knew that. He knew that God was going to be with them. We need to start calling on the Lord when we have trouble. Many of us never call upon God. We only call upon God as a last resort. I really believe that many of the problems that we face in our day could be eliminated by simply praying about it at the beginning of the day. Stop and think about that, folks. We wait until the events have already occurred, and then we start praying about it. God, get us out of this. Why don't we pray, God, deliver us from it before it happens? We ought to be praying that God would lead us and ask God to lead us. Now, you may say in your mind, well, you know, surely God knows that we want him to lead us and guide us. But do you ask him? How often do you really go to God at the beginning of a day and say, God, please help me get through this day. Help me to avoid all the problems and the circumstances of life that could rob me of my joy. Sometimes our bad days are bad days simply because we did not take it to the Lord in prayer. How many of you have ever heard of a man by the name of Joseph Scriven? You probably have not. You probably haven't. But he came keenly aware of the power of prayer. It was that which sustained him when he almost lost his own life. You see, the woman that he was scheduled to marry drowned, believe it or not, the night before their scheduled wedding. Soon after that, his mother was ill, and he wrote his mother a letter, and he enclosed the lines of a new poem that he had written. We know the words of this poem as a song that we often sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, Joseph Scriven wrote that when he was going through the throes of depression and troublesome times. He did not write that song because things were going well in his life. But he was saying, in the midst of all of that trouble, what a friend we have in Jesus. And notice what he says in one stanza of that song. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We ought to be praying, folk. And that's exactly what Paul and Silas did. And think about this just a minute. When they began to sing and pray, they moved the hand of God. The earthquake that occurred in Philippi became a blessing, not a curse. And the earthquake that occurred in Philippi was not of natural causes. It was not necessarily because the plates in the earth began to shift. But it was the hand of God moving. There's a story one time of a son that went to jump on the bumper of his dad's truck in order to hitch a ride, a short ride across the yard. The dad didn't see him, and he slid down and was being dragged several yards before his dad heard him screaming. And the father ran around behind the truck where his son was still holding on to the bumper. He could see that his son was okay, just a little scratch here and there upon his knees and his legs. But he just had to ask the obvious question, "Son, why didn't you just let go?" You know, sometimes I think God is looking down upon us, upon you, and upon me. And when we are holding on to hurt and bitterness and problems in our life, God is saying, "Why didn't you let go? Why didn't you let go of your fears? Why didn't you let go of your stress and your worry? Why would you let Satan drag you through life, stealing your joy and robbing you of every vestige of happiness that God wants you to have, when he wants to sustain us? Why wouldn't you let go when the storm comes, or the spiritual earthquake or tsunami? God will sustain you." That's why Jesus taught in the book of Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought always pray and faint not, that is, don't give up. Paul says in everything we ought to be praying to God every day. Listen, one of the great lessons that Christ taught the disciples was the lesson of prayer. He mentioned it often. He even taught the disciples to pray. But he also demonstrated how we are to pray in the book of John, chapter 17. "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And so Paul and Silas did the right thing. Might not have been the natural thing. They could have let their fears take over, but they didn't. They started praying about it. Now, I don't know what they were praying. Maybe they were praying, "God bless someone through this adversity that has come our way." It doesn't tell us what their prayer was about. I don't know whether it was a prayer of deliverance or not. Could have been a prayer for some lost individual like the Philippian who later got saved. But the Bible says they continued not only with their prayer, but with their song. After Paul and Silas prayed, they began to sing hymns of praise unto God. They prayed and they trusted God. So what else is there to do except use the language of faith? Praise. That's why we sing on Sunday, isn't it? Isn't that why we sing any other time? To honor God. You know, we come together as God's people. As we were singing a moment ago, "Jesus, we love you. Glorify the name of God." We are to praise his name, whether it is in song or in word. Praise is that language of faith. Remember what I said, prayer plus praise equals deliverance. Now it did. Now nothing else moved the hand of God that night. They're in prison, and after all, here we're talking about 12 o'clock at night, at midnight. At midnight last night, probably most of you were asleep. Paul and Silas were in the midst of great adverse conditions. And they start singing and they start praying. Think about others who went through similar situations. Think about Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel prayed unto God when he was in the lion's den. He didn't pray because he was wanting to be delivered, but he was praying because he knew there was a God up there who was worthy of worship and honor and glory. And not only Daniel, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think of their great faith in God and their love for the Lord, and God, here again, came to get in trouble with them, because the Bible says that when the king looked into that fiery furnace, he not only saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he saw another figure who looked like the Son of God. And they were in there together. God didn't deliver them at that moment until he came to get into trouble with them. I'm telling you that God comes to get into our life. He does. when we think it's just one of those days, I'm telling you, God is with his children, and he is plotting out a plan to rescue you in his own time. It takes faith to praise God when the day has been bad. I'm telling you, when we go through difficult times, hey, singing and probably glorifying God is the least thing from our mind. But it ought to be foremost. For as Paul and Silas sang, the prison was shaken, the doors were open, and they were delivered. Now maybe this morning, is it possible that you may be in a prison of despair? You right now may be going through some kind of despair in your life. It may be marital. It may be a problem that's going on between you and your husband or you and your wife. You may be having marital discord right now, and I'm telling you that God came to get into your marital discord and to bring about a happiness that you have never known. You may be saying it's one of those days, but it is God who is wanting to help you in your time of trouble. You may be going through financial problems. A lot of people are in today's world, today's economy. A lot of people have financial problems. People have lost their jobs. Many of the teachers in Anderson County are concerned about whether or not they're going to be holding on to their job next year. The economy took a downturn and people are losing their job. Everybody is downsizing. And there are a lot of people that are in despair financially. What's going to happen? What does the future hold for me? You may be in an emotional despair this morning. Something going on in your emotional makeup that you cannot control. It is beyond you to deal with it by yourself. There's something going on. You are emotionally disturbed. We have a lot of people that are emotionally disturbed today. We have more people on medication to control their emotions today than ever before in the history of this nation. And I'm telling you that God can help us control our emotions. I'm not saying there are not times maybe when people through medical science need medication. But I am telling you there are times when many of the emotional problems that we have in our life could be controlled if we turn to God. Relational despair. Maybe you have a problem with a brother or sister in Christ this morning. Maybe you have a problem with someone else that you know. And that relational despair has brought you to the brink. You feel you cannot go on. You need to be singing and praying to God. God, help me to have the right attitude. Help me to respond in the way that Jesus would respond in a situation. You may be having a mental despair this morning that only God can deal with and take care of. Or you just might have a spiritual problem this morning in your life, and you are in deep despair. You are in a prison of despair over your lack of spirituality. You have a spiritual problem going on in your life. You're not as close to God right now as you want to be. You really wanted to be close to God, but for some reason or another, you just kind of drifted away from God, and you're way out there now. It's not where you really want to be. And God is reaching out to you to bring you back to him. The world will never bring you back to God. They will take you further. It's kind of like that tsunami. It sweeps in and then it sweeps out. And the world will sweep into your life and they will take you even further out into an ocean of despair. And only God can deliver us. The earthquake that occurred in Philippi was not by accident. It was by the will of God. You know, sometimes when we hear of earthquakes, we begin to think, well, the wrath of God has come down. I've heard that in the last few days. The wrath of God has fallen upon Japan. But what would happen if we had an earthquake here in East Texas or along the fault line that runs from Missouri down through Arkansas? Would we think that it was the wrath of God? No, we probably wouldn't. But on those Japanese, it's the wrath of God. Who are we to judge in such circumstances, folks? You know, sometimes God allows adversity to come that we might be blessed. It just may have been God's way of turning these people in Japan to the great God of the universe, to the only true and living God. I know one thing, that God is working behind the scenes oftentimes to bring about the desired result. Now, we can't see the end of God's scheme, not really. God was working in behalf of Paul and Silas. They didn't know it. They didn't know God was going to send an earthquake that night and that their bands would be loosed and that they would walk out of that prison. They didn't know that. That wasn't why they were singing and while they were praying. But they were praying and they were singing and they were glorifying God even in the midst of trouble. Job of long ago would say, "Though he slay me, yet will I worship and serve him." He would say, "It is the Lord who blesses, who gives, and it is the Lord who takes away. Blessed, praise be the name of God." I know one thing, that God works behind the scenes in our life. I'm going to tell you something. I may have to go through a lot of problems, been through a lot of problems. More on the way, more down the pike, no doubt. But those problems are common to you and they're common to me both. And I know one thing, though. The assurance that I have through all of that is my Heavenly Father is behind the curtain. And He is working out for my good the things that I cannot see right now through my eye. And I can tell you time and time again how He has done that. And when reflecting back in retrospect at the moment that those problems were occurring and the difficulty in my life and adverse situations, I didn't understand. And I began to feel somewhat disparaging at that moment and feel that perhaps, you know, God, if you're there, why did this happen? Which is common probably to all men. But later I saw why it happened. And later I could see the hand of God moving to bring blessings over all of those adverse situations. And that's exactly what happened with this earthquake in Philippi. God bless Paul and Silas. Think about it. The very one who bound them in stocks and bonds was the one who got saved that night. He was the one who invited those prisoners to his house to feed them and to wash them where they had been beaten unmercifully. So you may be in a prison this morning. I'm telling you, you don't have to stay in that prison. Jesus came from heaven to break the bonds. He came, as he himself said, one time when he was invited back to his hometown to stand up and read the word of God, he read from the book of Isaiah, who said, "I have come to set the captive free." And I'm telling you this morning, Christ is still on a mission to set the captive free. And so if you're held captive this morning to some problem that is going on in your life, the only way you will ever get out of that problem is with the help of God Almighty. And that is His promise. His promise is to work all things for good to them that love Him. But that's a promise to His child. It's not a promise to everyone. It's not. Now, you can become His child this morning. You can become God's child by following his plan of redemption. You can. And you know what? The beautiful thing about this plan that you see this morning is that it's so simple that even children understand it. Even children who have no sin sometimes are so moved by the simplicity of this plan that they want to be saved and want to be baptized when they have no sin. Why is it that folk have great difficulty comprehending? Why is it that folk have great difficulty comprehending and understanding God's plan for spiritual release from prison? I don't really think we have a great problem understanding it. I think we have a great problem accepting it. That's the problem. Because immediately in Philippi, when Paul and Silas are singing praise unto God and that earthquake comes, we don't know how much damage it did. I just assume that perhaps maybe that was for a particular time there in Philippi that Paul and Silas may have been released from prison. They weren't concerned about the devastation. They were concerned about the prisoners getting out. And Paul and Silas was concerned about the prisoner being released from his spiritual despair. And so when he cried out and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul says, "Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Paul didn't spend the wee hours of the morning trying to convince this man that he had to believe. For when the word fell from his lips and the ears of the jailer heard, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," the Bible says, and he took them immediately the same hour of the night. And he baptized him, and the jailer washed their stripes. This man was so convinced when he heard that he had to believe in Christ that he garnered up his whole family and brought them to hear that message of Jesus. And he and his whole household were baptized that night for the remission of their sin. They confessed the sweet name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name for whom all men someday shall bow and confess before the Father in heaven. For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And they were penitent over their sins. It was obvious. Jailer wasn't worried anymore about what the magistrates may do to him because Paul and Silas had gotten out of prison. But he's more concerned about his spiritual deliverance. And so with a penitent heart he says, "Take me down to the water," wherever it was, "and baptize me for the remission of my sin." And when the man came up out of that water, he was so joyful over what had happened. Think about it. Here's a man who put him into prison. He's remorseful for the fact they got out. He hears the message of Christ, and now he's rejoicing again. And he's joined the chorus with Paul and Silas, who are singing and praising and glorifying God. And as far as we know it, this man lived faithful the rest of his days. And that's what God asks us to do. And I'm telling you, deliverance is there. It is available. Jesus didn't just post your bond. He paid the price for your deliverance. And when we are delivered, we are set free. You're not put on probation or parole. When Jesus sets you free, it's as if it never ever occurred. For John 8 says that when the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, John 8 and verse 32. And the truth shall set you free. And that's what I've shared with you this morning. And now it's up to you to move. I've shared with you the same message that Paul and Silas shared with that jailer that night. A message of deliverance. And I'm telling you this morning, you can be just as free as he was. You can be just as delivered. You can be forgiven of all your sins. The plan is simple. Will you believe it? And will you obey it while we stand and sing?